we continue in our series, amen, 2 Corinthians chapter 6,
amen,
and stand in honor of God's word, and we're continuing our series on making the church great. We want to have a great church, but for us to have a great church, we got to have great faith, great love, great joy, great mercy, great grace, all these things we've been talking about for the last 10, 11, 12 weeks. But today we're going to talk about a great church is a separated church.
Amen.
A great church is a separated church.
Amen.
And we see Paul today just pleading with the people of God who were still sort of in and out, in and out, in and out. Paul's pleading with them. Let's look at this great text of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to look at verses 11 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 11 through 18. And we're going to talk about a great church is a separated church. Amen. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not strained in us, but ye are strained in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the saying, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part have he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, say the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, say the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God, thank you. Thank you, Father God, for separating me. Thank you for calling me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you for opening the eyes of the people of God right here today that call you Lord. Well, we were like the second thief on the Christ that on the cross that said, if you be the Christ, save yourself. But we thank you, Father God, for making us the ones that hear you and call you Lord. Call you Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for this word of God. And then thank you, Father God, for the doctrine of separation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the morgues are full in Trumbull County. They haven't had 80, 81, maybe probably now 100 ODs and overdoses. And I know that's a difficult subject for a lot of us here. Many of us in here probably know folks that have had trouble with drugs and alcohol and different things like that. But when I look at a text like this and I talk, and I may want to talk just to the young people. And I'm talking to that group over here, Justin and Leon and the young people over here. They really need to be taught early. Early the need to learn separation. Teach your children separation. Something we ought to be teaching them right now that we weren't separate from. Things that we were attached to that caused us problems. Sometimes young people, you know, they'll look at us as older folks and say, well, you know, you did your thing. We're going to do our thing. You did it, Mommy. You did it, Daddy. But we have a responsibility to teach them separation.
Amen.
Teach them separation. And Paul is talking to this church. This is the carnal church. The Corinthian church was a carnal church, but it was a church that people had received the Lord. There was a church. Paul called them his people. He called them saints. But when we look at the text, he says in verse number 11, our mouth is open to you. Paul was a teacher. And he said, we came here as a group of people and we wanted to teach you everything. He said, our heart is enlarged, meaning that it was just full of love for you. And they, and Paul wanted these people to turn. He was begging. Paul was a begging man. He was a begging man. And he's begging them, and he says, you're not constrained or restricted, or we aren't, but you are, because you held back. A lot of folks just, they know it's the truth, but they just have a hard time embracing it. And Paul says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And they had come out of the world. But the unbelievers were still holding on to him. And he's using a farming term. We went over this on Wednesday night. He said, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What he's talking about is how they would yoke two animals together. They would yoke an ox, which was a bullock, which was a sacrificial animal. It was considered a clean animal. And if you would put that ox on the same yoke as a donkey or an unclean animal, that ox would turn away because he couldn't smell, or he couldn't stand the smell of that unclean animal. See, some of us, we call ourselves clean, but we don't have a hard time getting in a relationship with an unclean person. To a person who's a believer, that's the conversation of an unclean person ought to make us turn our heads from them. This unclean animal that will be yoked with this clean animal stank. Their breath was stank because they would eat anything. Amen. And that ox could not, and you couldn't plow your field when the ox is going left in the... Amen. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's a whole lot of folks that have gotten yoked up with unbelievers, and the unbelievers are stronger than the believers.
Amen.
For what fellowship? What fellowship? What are you going to talk about? What is a woman of God? A woman, what is a woman of God who loves the Lord and who loves worship and the praise and serving God? What's she going to talk to a thug about? What conversation are they going to have? Because she won't talk about the Lord. She won't talk about what the Lord is doing in her life and how the Lord is using her and how he saved her and how he delivered her. What kind of conversation is that going to be? What fellowship? This is what Paul is saying. He said, what fellowship are you going to have? What fellowship does a straight-A student have with someone getting all F's? What are you talking about? Calculus? Geometry? College? Law school? What fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? When I see somebody doing something wrong, that ain't the person I want to hang out with. If I see a person living an unrighteous life and doing crazy stuff, it ain't the person I want to hop in my car. Amen. I was telling the young people a couple of weeks ago, and I was teaching the young people, it don't matter. Y'all going to jail. If you get a car full of folks and one person go in the store, rob a store, hop in a car and pull off, everybody in the car in trouble. Amen. So Paul's saying, what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion have light with darkness? Because when light show up, darkness leave. Darkness' job is to turn off the light. Darkness, the only way darkness can have fellowship with light is he's going to dimming you. And you hang around darkness long enough, guess what? Your light will get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and sooner or later it will go out. Okay? There's some churches that are bright when you go inside, but truly the light has gone out. Because they have invited the world. The world has come in like a wrecking ball. And they're doing big things, but they're not doing big things for God. Paul here, as we go through this text, he says, now he gets a little deeper, just in case. That word concord means agreement. But he said, what agreement or what concord had Christ with Belial? What concord? What agreement does Christ have with the devil? None. Get behind me. Or what part have he that believeth with an infidel? An infidel means someone who, no matter what you talk to them about, they're not going to believe. They're an infidel. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? What agreement? Temple of God. We believe in a God we don't have to see. Doubting Thomas. Thomas said, listen, unless I put my fingers in the holes, unless I put my hand in your side, I will not believe. And Jesus showed up the second time and said, Thomas, blessed are those who have believed and have what? Not seen. We serve a God that we have not seen. Faith is believing. Faith is the substance of those things what? That are hoped for. An idol is something that you can see. Make your own idol. We got idols all over the place. Go to Kent. I ride by an idol shop every day when I ride by the Kent Hall of Fame. And it's just idols. And you know what? And it's the number one attraction in Ohio. It's the number one. And every day, Sunday, every day. Every day of the week. It's not closed. I don't believe no day of the week. And it's always full. Folk want to see their idols. They want to see Jim Brown. And they want to see Gale Sayers. And they want to see the steel curtain. And they want to... Let me keep going. Because he gets to this wherefore. And this wherefore, that's a big wherefore. He's a big wherefore. He says in verse 17, I'm going to keep going. He said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. That's a command. We learned that this morning. That's not a suggestion. That's not something he's suggesting to Christians. Amen. It's not something he's saying, you know, you ought to think about. Or you ought to, you know, next time you should consider doing. No, he's saying, wherefore, come out from among them and don't go back. Amen. Don't go back. Don't go back. Let me give you a story of someone who came out, and as far as the scripture goes, he never went back. And I don't think nobody in this church, or nobody you probably even know, is as bad as this guy was. Look at me in Mark chapter 5. Here's a story. Here's a story we're familiar with. I've heard it preached so many times, and it's always one of those texts that you just love to hear preached. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and now think about it. If you go back to chapter 4, Jesus went through a hailstorm. He went through a storm that destroyed the boat just to reach this one person. Now, I believe he would have saved a whole island. Okay? But let me tell you something. Everybody don't want to be saved. Everybody don't want Jesus. Okay? Now it says in verse 1 of 5, Mark, and they came over unto the other side of the sea and into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, now watch this now, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. That's us. That's us. Okay? The tombs is our past life, how we live before we had this encounter with the Lord. Okay? That's us. We came out of the tombs. Then we didn't call them tombs. We might call them saloons. We might have called them nightclubs, and we might have called them different things, but in God's economy, they were called tombs. Okay? Tombs. Now watch. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwellings among the tomb, who lived in the tomb, lived around dead stuff, loved being around dead folks. See, that's how we was when we wasn't singing. We loved being around dead folks. We didn't want to be around folks alive. Just quickened, born again folks. I always ask people, you know, it's my birthday. Which birthday? The one that you were born dead, or the one that was when you made you alive? We got to have two birthdays. If you only celebrate one a year, you're in trouble. Okay? Love being around dead folks. Love being around dead folks. Now, most of us did. You know what? Dead folks. We was dead. And we love being around dead folks. Nobody said amen. I'll say amen. I love being around dead folks. Okay? Watch this now. He came out. There's no mention of him ever going back. Now, that's the key. He came out. That's what separated. He separated himself from the tombs. Okay? See, we're a child of God. We separate ourselves from the tombs. From the dead stuff. Some of us still like dead stuff. Okay? We like hanging around dead people. No spiritual life. That's what I mean. No spiritual life. No spiritual life. some of you right now. Soon as you leave out of here, you get ready to call up all your dead friends. Be on Facebook with all your dead friends and Messenger and all that with all your dead friends. Been dead a long time. Well, they be still talking to you. I remember when we was dead. I meet dead folks. I go to Walmart or something. I meet dead folks. And they still talking the dead talk. Still talking dead talk. Let's keep going. Watch this now. He had his dwelling in the tomb. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. And because he had been often bound in feathers and chains had been plucked asunder by him and the feathers broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. This was a bad man. This was a bad man. Okay? Even the ADHD medicine wasn't messing with him, and the stuff for anger wasn't touching him. I mean, he was a bad man. Amen. They put him in straight jackets, chained him up, put him in the mental hospital. He bust up out of there. Now watch verse 5. Oh, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. You can't have an encounter with God and be the same. Okay? Okay? Watch the verse 5. And always, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. That's a lot of cutters anymore. You know, where I work at, a lot of kids who walk around, they all cut all up because they just don't like themselves. Don't like the situation they're in, and they don't have no other options, and they tend to want to cut themselves. Just get angry and they start cutting. Crying. That's key. Because know what I believe? Jesus hears our cries. Jesus hears our cries. Now watch this. Watch this now. Crying and cutting himself with stones. Now watch, here we go, verse 6. But when he saw Jesus, afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Meaning he ran and fell prostrate and knew that he was in the presence of the only man on the face of this earth that could deliver him from this demonic state. Amen. He ran and worshiped him. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Sounds like a whole kind of crazy conversation going on. Because now the demon is in, the demon that was in him is starting to talk. Too late, demon. See, demons sleep. God never sleeps. Bible says he walked up about like a roaring lion. This guy got away from him. This may be your day. This may be your day to get away from him. Because he ran and he worshiped him. Now watch this now. I'm going to wrap this up.
For he said unto him, verse 8, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.
Separate yourself from the man. Separate yourself from the man. Now, when we talk about God's great separated church, this man never went back. Never went back. Go look at Mark chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 14. Now watch what happens. Because he never went back. Now Jesus came to this island, and the power of God to save had came into that place. Came into that city. Now verse 14. And they that fed the swine. Now remember what y'all remember the story. I don't want to go through all of it. You know, he cast the demons into the swine. The swine ran down the cliff, over the cliff, into the lake or to the ocean or whatever was down there. But then in verse 14, they that had fed the swine, the swine herds, and told it in the city. They went to the city and told it. Not only did they go to the city, the Bible says, in the country. Okay? These was people that was going out and testifying to what God had done. And they went out to see. Here come the people from the city and the country. Because they knew this crazy man. And they went out to see what it was that was done, what God had done. And they came to Jesus. By verse 15. They come to Jesus. Just like the lunatic did. Out of the tomb, out of the country, out of the cities, out of the bars, out of the nightclubs, out of the strip clubs. It don't matter. They came. These were godless people who had came and to see what God had done. Watch this now. And they come to see Jesus, verse 15, to see him that was possessed with the devil. Remember I told you a story this morning in Sunday school. The Bible says, John 11, they came not only to see Jesus, but they wanted to see Lazarus, whom God had raised from the dead. This lunatic had been raised from the dead, and people always want to see folk raised from the dead. You know what? And if this church is ever be filled up with just a couple of folks that's been truly raised from the dead, folks go come see. Folks gonna come see. Folks gonna come see. I wanna see. I wanna see some raised from the dead folks. Oh, watch this now. See, we sing a good song and pray a good prayer. Okay? But folks wanna see. They wanna see you when you ain't singing. They wanna see you when you ain't praying. They wanna see you when you're not preaching. Dead folks can sing good. Chuck Berry died last night. James Brown sang good. Luther sang good. Teddy Pendergrass sang good. See, unsaved folks sang good. Marvin Gaye sang good. Distant lover. Oh, y'all know that song. So brought some back some memories. I was in college. Get out of there. Thank you, Jake. Dead singers sing good. Dead singers sing good. Now, let's stay with me. Verse 16. And they that saw it, with their own eyes, they saw Jesus and what he had done with their own eyes. So let me read it now. And they that saw it, those that came out of the country and of the city, what did they see? Verse 15. They come to see Jesus and to see him that was. Say that. Past tense. That was possessed with the devil. Now you can't be possessed with the devil and the Holy Ghost. Okay? You're only possessed by one thing. You can't. You're possessed by the devil or the Holy Ghost. You don't have 50% devil and 50% Holy Ghost. Okay? You either all in or you all out. That's just it. That's just Bible. See, a lot of folks teach, a lot of pastors teach. You can try to fit. You can do that. You try that thing out before you get married. They teach all that stuff. I didn't heard it preached. And y'all didn't seen it in action. You either all in or all out. Oh, Pastor, that's why your church is empty. No, it is what it is. He said, preach the word. You ain't halfway saved. You ain't three quarters saved. Watch this now. They come to see Jesus. And to see him that was possessed with the devil. And had the legion. He was possessed and he had a legion, but now what they see is a man sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Folks ought to be afraid of saved folks. The lost world, a lost world, an unsaved person ought to be scared to death of a saved person. Know why? Because that third saved person is always showing them, you're on your way to hell. And I don't mean you running around telling everybody, turn to burn. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when a lost person truly sees a born-again believer, they have to identify. I'm lost. Okay? Verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. And also concerning the swine, they was preaching. They were doing the same thing I'm doing now, declaring what God had done. Okay? Now watch what they do. And I believe this is common. Some of y'all are here hearing it now, just disregarding it. I don't want to hear it. I don't even know why I came here. Now watch this. And they began to pray. See? Sylvia come out this morning. Talk about some prayer stuff. Everybody can't pray. Now y'all know I say it all the time. Somebody tell me that I'm going to pray for you, pastor. I'm going to pray for you, chaplain. And first thing I'm going to ask, who you praying to? Okay? Who you praying to? You can't pray to Buddha for me. And you can't pray to Muhammad for me. And you can't pray to Faircon for me. You can't pray to Joseph Smith for me. You gonna pray for me, you gotta pray to me. A God that had a son that was born of a virgin who lived 33 and a half years and never sinned. Then he was crucified on Calvary's cross and buried and rose on the third day and now is sitting at the right hand of God. There. That's something to cheer about. Amen. So there are a whole lot of folks, I'll pray for you. Who you going to pray to? God ain't but one God. No. There's a lot of gods, bro. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now watch this now. They began to pray. And their prayers got answered. They began to pray what? That he would depart out of their coast. Lord have mercy. You know, I mean, they praying for him. Listen. What are we going to separate from, Pastor? They wanted to be separated from Jesus. Jesus separated this man from the tomb, but they wanted to be separated from the man and from the tomb, his message, his God, everything. They didn't want to have nothing to do with it. But you know what? We're called to separate ourselves. See, and what the church is doing today, what the false church is doing today, it's constantly looking for new ways to accommodate folks that hate God, folks that hate holiness and purity and sanctification and repentance and the doctrine of grace and mercy and peace. But we want them in our churches. They hate the sanctity of marriage. They hate that God has made marriage between a man and a woman, but you're welcome in our house. See, this is what the world don't want separation. The true church must be purged.
Amen.
We talked about it this morning. We talked about him. The true church having to be, what was the word we used this morning? Pruned. But the God's church, the faithful church, must be purged of the contamination of sinners and separated from godless, worldly influences. We don't want to do it. We don't want to purge. We want everybody to feel comfortable. It don't matter what you was doing on Saturday night. You can come to our church because our pastor is nice. And they'll leave saying, "Oh, I love your pastor. He's so nice. He don't even remind me of a pastor." I've heard that stuff. And you guys have heard it. Okay? The Word of God says, purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Purge it out. Leaven is corruption, a corrupt influence. Paul speaking to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians, because he's challenging the church. And the Word of God is challenging us now. It's challenging us now. He says this in 1 Corinthians 5:11. This is a great verse, great scriptures. For the church. Verse 7, he says, purge out therefore the old leaven. And then that's all about the Passover. When the Passover came, they were not to use any leaven. Everything had to be unleavened. Because leaven represented evil and malice and the law and all that. And they were getting ready to move. And the death angel came around. And these churches had to be cleaned out of the old leaven. Why, Paul? That they may be a new lump. As you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. For us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven. Some folks can't worship. Some folks can't praise God. Some folks can't hear from the Lord because they filled with old leaven. They fill with old leaven, and the old leaven plugs your ears up. That leaven plugs your heart up. And it gives you a resistance to the truth. You don't want to hear it. Even though it's true, you don't want to hear it. He says, therefore, keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Amen.
And truth. He said, I wrote to you an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. How many of your buddies is fornicators? Saint of God. Child of God. I get like the Church of God in Christ pastor. Child of God. Born again believer. How many of you have fornicating friends that you're hanging out with, no problem. I just want to introduce you to my boy. We just friends. We just buddies. Word of God. Get married. Ain't nobody telling you that. Well, no, I wrote you an epistle. Not to keep company with fornicators. Okay? Yet, because they have some confusion about it. Well, he said, what about when I'm out witnessing the folks on my job? And no, keeping company is somebody you're close with. Okay? Somebody you're close with. Somebody you might be fornicating with. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. We in the world. How we going? I mean, we came out. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:9 that, and he said, such were some of you. Okay? Watch verse 11 again. Because Paul cleans this up.
But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. Paul had to clarify, because folks like to undermine stuff. They like to look at stuff and then they like to make it turn it back on you. Paul had to clarify. He had to come back and say, no, but I've written unto you not to keep company if any man, generic, or woman that is called a brother or a sister be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or railer or drunkard or extortioner with such and one, know not to eat. Look at verse 12. Talking about separation. God's church is a separated church. But what have I to judge them also that are without God? It's not the church's responsibility to deal with the folks that don't know the Lord. Our job is to testify to them and witness them. But once you call yourself a believer, go down in the water. Take me to the water. Now you're a Christian. You're a child of God. You take communion and you're part of the church. And you're a fornicator. You're a covetous man or a woman or a idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one. Know not to eat. I don't know. It's just the Bible. Watch what Paul says. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are what? Within. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That wicked person. See, when evil is tolerated in God's house, the work of God can't prosper. Now, I'm not saying the church can't grow, because a lot of evil folks like congregating. Okay? Evil folks like congregating. They like going, they like hanging out together. That's how gangs are started. You go to school and you go to a school and then all you young people in here know you got bad kids. Then you got kids that come to school that are really about learning, really about studying, really want to be good students, and they don't want to hang with the bad kids. And the bad kids come around, look, you bad. I can't go home with that. So what happens? The bad kids start hanging out together. They start families. They call them heartless felons. Family first. You know, if one of your little nephews or one of your little nieces or cousins or somebody you know got a little family on their arm, they that mean they ain't a gang. That's talking about you. That's a gang family. They call it family. They put it on their arm, on their shoulder, on their back, on their neck. It identifies them. Family. Teach your children separation.
Amen.
Teach them separation. They got to start at home. There's some things we have to separate from. Mark them, Paul says. Mark them, which cause divisions. Separate them. Separate from them. Oh, Pastor, you on that separation stuff? It is what it is. You know, it is what it is. Pastor said, well, Pastor, you on that separation stuff. No, I'm not on that separation stuff. This is what we do. Okay? This is how God's word is supposed to be preached. And your Bible is supposed to be preached in its purity, in its holiness. And we don't like to do it because we're going to offend people. And a lot of folks don't like to be offended. And offended folks don't give. And offended folks don't come. They don't come here and be offended. You won't be offended if you give your life to God. You won't be offended. You ought to be offended when you don't hear the word. Well, Christian Bible Baptist, they so holy over there. Too much Bible and too much holiness. Too much Jesus. Too much Paul. Too much Peter. Too much Moses. Too much John. Too much Bible over there. They just believe it all the way to the T. And folks just... I want to go somewhere where, you know, my wife is called to preach. She want to be in the pulpit. It's not hard to find churches where she can go. Okay?
Well, we want to speak in tongues and run around and do cartwheels up and down the highways. Listen, the town is full of places where you can go and do that. We want to come here and do whatever we want to do. We don't want no restrictions, no rules, nothing. Bless us. Bless us. See, sometimes you are blessed when God separates. So now we don't have to do the separating. God will do the separating. He tells us, preach the word. And if it needs some separating, I'll do it. Because everybody don't want to hear it. The Bible says it's a narrow road that leads to heaven. And few be defined. And few. Whole lot of folks ain't never come to a church where the word of God is being preached. If y'all looking for a big church, y'all probably need to find a big church pastor. Because there's a big church pastors out there, and most times they don't work with $175 a week. Okay? So you want a big church pastor? Then open your pocketbooks.
Amen.
Now, there's a blessing. There's a blessing. Now we talk about two blessed be straight. God blessed me with a Mercedes Benz. God blessed me with a new house. God blessed me with wonderful children. God blessed me with I just opened up the mailbox and I was blessed. A check came out in a second. God blessed me. He. Think about this blessing. Here's a blessing that preachers don't even know in the Bible. Blessed are ye. Luke 6:22. Blessed are ye. When men shall hate you.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Too blessed to be stressed, folks. Blessed are you when men and women and children shall hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company. Y'all didn't know that was a blessing. And shall reproach you. That means they just say some crazy stuff. Half of it ain't true. Just put you out there. Snap face and all that. You're no good. Baby, you no good. And shall reproach you. And cast out your name as evil. Why? Here's a blessing. For the Son of Man's sake. For the Bible's sake. Because you stand fast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, you're going to get some reproach. No cross. No cross, no crown. No cross, no crown. Let me close. I could go for another hour, but no. Blanche told me last week I do my sermon. That's 55 minutes. Let me tell you something. Separation is costly. See, separation is costly. There's a heavy price for separation. I'm going to look at Hebrews 11. I'm going to talk about one of the greatest separators in the Bible. I got a lot of men and women in the Bible that were separate, that separated themselves. We can talk about Rahab. We can talk about Mary. When God called Mary to be the vehicle that he was going to use to have the Son of God, he really called her that she was going to separate from the world. And Mary took it. They called her her own fiance will say she was sleeping around on her. She took it right from the very beginning. She knew what she was getting into. She asked the angel Gabriel, how are we going to do this? But here's Moses. Here's Moses, one of the greatest men in the Bible. So Moses was so great that God didn't even let nobody know where they were going to bury him at. Because he knew folk was going to martyr him. And want to look for him. And the devil didn't even know. Jude said the devil didn't even know. He was fighting with the angel trying to find out where Moses' body was. Because he was that great. You know what made Moses great? Moses separated himself. Amen. He separated himself. Look at Hebrews 11. I'm at verse 23, I believe. Here's that great man of God. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born. Now think about the parents he was born to. Think about the kind of parent you are. You want to have a great kid, you got to be a great parent. Amen. Oh, people, amen. Pastor, you gone crazy. Uh-huh. You kids do whatever they want to do. No. Listen, by faith, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Meaning a godly child, a goodly child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. What was the king's commandment? To kill them all. All the Hebrew babies were being killed. But Moses' mother and father said, not this one. Not this one. Y'all know the story. He built him an ark and pitched it and sent it down the river. Put them a plan together. Pharaoh's daughter got him, took him in the house and raised him as a king. Now, by faith, Moses. Now, what's the cost of greatness? The cost of separation. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused political power. He refused to be a king. How many of us could do that? Some of us would kiss the boots of our immediate supervisor just to get a $2 raise. I mean, we can do anything. You, some of you people talk about Hollywood, you young people want to, whatever I need to do to get a part in the play. And you standing there in the background dressed like a zombie or something and do anything for that. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Amen. How about that? Amen. He chose to suffer instead of choosing to be a political power. Separation costs you. Separation costs you. Watch this now. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. See, the people of God always suffer affliction. See, what we do when we get a little bit of affliction, we run. We ain't supposed to get no affliction. You know, you're supposed to live your best life now. And every day in the Lord is, listen, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. That's a lie. You praise God right and all hell may come down. You get right with God. The Bible says all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. All you got to do is say, you know what? I'm going to get right with God. And somebody like hit you in the head with something. God, Satan don't want you right with God. Keep going faster. I'm almost done. Watch the verse. Watch this. Choosing rather to suffer with the people of God. People of God, you suffer. Suffering is part of your credentials. Suffering is part of what lets you know you are truly God's child. We work so hard not to suffer any. We don't want to suffer at all. And that's contrary to God's word. God's word says many are the affliction, but we do everything we can to be affliction free. Little pain, we Advil and Tylenol. We don't want no pain. We don't want no suffering. And this is why we got a prescription medication epidemic in our country. Because folks don't want no pain. Amen. They don't want to suffer at all. Credit card debt to the mountaintop. We got to have everything. And if we don't have it, we suffering. Something wrong with us. You don't have this or you don't have that. suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let me tell y'all something, young people. It's just for a season. It's just for a season that your rear end going to be tight. It's just for a season that your breast going to stand up tall. It's just for a season. It's just for a season that you're going to be toned and you might have a six pack. It's just for a season. Okay? It's just for a season. It ain't going to last long. Amen. Oh, ain't nobody. Jake, only one that owe amen over there. Y'all know that's true. And then the Word of God said, there's pleasure in that. And you can do things in that pleasurable season that will change the whole course of your life. Amen. Just to have pleasure for a season. Amen. There's a whole lot of amens going on in folk heart that have been through that pleasure for a season. So there are a whole lot of folks. I talk to a whole lot of folks. They open an addiction places all over the place. Mental health facilities popping up everywhere. Why? Because folks have been enjoying that pleasure for a season and got stuck out there. Got stuck out there. And they slipping stuff in folks' drinks and they putting stuff in things you smoke and folks is going crazy. All over the world, just having a little bit of pleasure. And there's a whole lot of stuff out there that don't last for a season. There's some stuff out there that's being transmitted from man to woman and from woman to man that don't last for a season. Okay? There's some stuff out there that resistant to all type of antibiotics. There are folks out there that one beer, you may be able to drink six, but you may only be able to drink one. And you may not be able to drink that. Moses, esteeming, I like this one in verse 26, and I'm going to be closing. Esteeming the reproach of Christ esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now let me explain that and be done. Listen, there were some good things happening in the palaces. Okay? Y'all watch some of these shows and these people living like kings and stuff. They live in large, they live in kings. There's everything you want. Whether it's women and boys and alcohol, party all the time. Moses turned it all down. Know what he turned it down for? He turned it down here. For the recompense of the reward. What was the reward? He knew one thing for certain, two things for sure. If he was going to get to heaven, it wasn't going to be easy. Okay? See, we say they're teaching the easy believism, easy way to heaven. All you got to do is believe, and you can wait. You can wait. I remember talking to a guy on my job, sitting there smoking a cigarette, belly all the way out of here, and I'm sitting there like, dude, you need to take it easy. He said, well, I'm pastor, chaplain, sergeant, I got time. I'm going to give it all up. I'm going to be like the thief on the cross. This is what he told me. This is a true story. He said, I'm going to be like the thief on the cross. And I'm going to give my life to the Lord at the last minute. And you know what I told him? I said, it was two thieves. I said, it was two thieves. Now, which thief would you be today? Which thief would you be today? If you was on the cross with Jesus, which thief would you be? Based on how you living right now. Which thief would you be? That's to me, that's an honest question. Which thief would you be?